I'm Eric Teal. We've got another incredible live music session in store for you today, and this one is a little different in that we have not actually done a jazz session in some time here at JPR, but we are lucky enough to be blessed with the presence of Mr. Frank Vignola and Vinny Raniolo. Welcome, you guys.
Thank you, Eric. It's great to be here.
As you can imagine, I'm really excited to hear music from you guys, but before we do that, let me ask you how and when you got started playing guitar.
I was 6 years old, and my father plays tenor banjo, so he always had a bunch of jam sessions around the house. And they gave me a guitar and showed me some songs, got me a Django Reinhardt record and a Les Paul record, and taught me a few chords, and I'd play along with the records.
Now, tenor banjo, that's a four-string.
Four-string, right? Banjo,
is it,
yes.
Tuned like an ukulele? Or
It's tuned like a cello, actually, okay. In fifths.
So with that, were you largely playing rhythm guitar?
I was playing rhythm guitar.
Rhythm banjo, I guess.
Well, rhythm guitar, actually. Okay. I didn't play banjo until I was maybe 12 or 13, but guitar, I just fell in love with it from the first time I heard it.
Was there something specific about it that you really liked?
Just the sound. I mean, I remember my life beginning from my first guitar lesson, and I knew from the age of six, 41 years ago, that I wanted to dedicate my life to guitar.
And the first records that you were handed were jazz
Django
records.
Reinhardt, yeah, jazz Limehouse records. Blues, and Les Paul, How High the Moon. And from there, it was Joe Pass and Charlie Christian, and I just, you know, immersed myself in that music until I was about 16 when I heard Frank Zappa. Then that changed everything.
So during those years when you were listening to all these jazz records, did that all come at the expense of the popular music of the day, or were you listening to that too?
No, not really. I was going home and playing along with Joe Pass records and doing a lot of gigs playing rhythm guitar for crazy banjo players.
As a teenager, oh, wow.
Yeah. I was working 4 or 5 times a week when I was in the middle school and high school. And that's where I learned how to play.
Wow.
It was right on the bandstand.
Huh. Now, you guys are described as kind of playing in the gypsy jazz guitar style often. Not always, but often. Mm-hmm. How does the gypsy style differ from just straight ahead jazz?
Well,
playing?
Gypsy jazz comes from the music of Django Reinhardt and Stefan Grappelli. And they were kind of, I like to relate it like European bluegrass music. Acoustic guitars, violin. They were brought up under the French music. So, and gypsy, traditional gypsy music. So that, you know, flamboyant minor style with a lot of gypsy sounding scales, they would play, hear Louis Armstrong records and the radio, and learn American popular standards and play it in their style. Hmm. So that's kind of what gypsy jazz is in a nutshell.
This is maybe an hour-long answer, but do you have any ability to summarize what Django Reinhardt brought to music that has become such an influence on every guitarist, maybe even every jazz player since?
I think he was Europe's biggest contribution to America's art form of jazz. And I mean, what he brought again was because he grew up playing French musette music, which is completely different than traditional jazz. So he brought that flavor of the acoustic guitar, a lot of vibrato in his playing, a lot of minor sounding scales as opposed to the major sounding scales. And it was a recognizable sound. And you know, Django didn't know anything about music. He could not read or write music or verbiage. So he was completely illiterate. And it just proves to me that, you know, if God gives you the talent, that's what you're going to do. And Django was a perfect example of that. Mm. Louis Armstrong, that summarizes jazz, is Louis Armstrong. You know, entertaining, melodic, stylistic, just beautiful, beautiful renditions of great songs.
Recently, I've been going back and re-watching the Ken Burns documentary around jazz, and where all of the experts point to West End Blues as maybe being the greatest recording in that entire genre of music.
Right. Of course.
Is that period for you kind of the seminal period of jazz music?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I love bebop, love modern jazz, but you know, I've never turned off a Louis Armstrong record, whether it's Louis and Ella. And what I've learned, you know, after 40 years of doing this is that it's about the song. That's why Louis was so great. He was, you know, he was all about the song and all about the audience. And I think that's where the music started. It was about dancing and entertainment.
Frank Vignola and Vinny Raniolo are my guests live in the JPR studios. Their latest album is called Melody Magic. What are you going to play first?
How about Caroline in the Morning?
Sounds great.
All right, here we go.
Frank Vignola and Vinny Raniolo are my guests here in the studio. You know, before we move on, I want to talk about jazz in general, but there's one guy specifically that I want to get your take on before we move on. And some of this is aided by the fact that the internet allows us access to things that used to just be legend.
Correct.
And one of those guys is Jimmy Rosenberg, who perhaps is among the foremost purveyors of that style that Django created.
Absolutely. A true genius.
There are not that many recordings of him out there in the world. I think he's put out something like 10 albums or so, but many of them are on very hard to find smaller labels. There was one album that Sony released when he was, 14 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You've had an opportunity to play with him a couple of times.
Yeah, we did Carnegie Hall together. That's where we met at the tribute to Stefan Grappelli right after Stefan passed away. Then we did a record for Sony that was never released.
Really?
Yeah.
That's still sitting somewhere?
It's still sitting in the vault somewhere.
Oh, man.
And we had a lot of fun together. We played a lot of great music together. He was a real just genius of the guitar. Talk about a passionate player. And I remember we used to go over Les Paul's house about 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's when Les would be at his best, was in the middle of the night. And Les pulled out Django's guitar for us to play, the guitar that Django's wife left to Django. And that was just an unbelievable moment, you know, to actually hold Django's guitar. But then to see someone like Jimmy Rosenberg, who was the guy playing in that style when he was in New York, and what an aura, beautiful time.
What's happened to jazz here in the United States?
I think it is learned on a blackboard now.
Mm.
instead of learned on the bandstand. There's a lot of great schools out there. They teach you a lot about music, and you learn how to improvise based on scales and modes instead of based on doing 6 gigs a week, playing 4 hours a night, and having to know thousands of songs. Hmm. I think the best players today are the ones who are out there working all the time and who know a lot of songs, whether you go to college or not. I'm not saying you don't need to know your theory or, you know, any of that, but, you know, guys who are at the top, Les Paul could barely read a piece of sheet music, you know, greatest influence on music probably in the last 100 years, not mm-hmm. only guitar, but engineering and everything else.
Yeah.
Tommy Emmanuel, who I think is the world's greatest living guitar player, you know, he doesn't really read, but you know what? He knows probably 50,000 songs.
True.
Yeah. And he can hear something once and pick it right up. So, and then also I think, you know, there's not enough entertainment in jazz. Even when I go to see jazz, after 20 minutes, I'm bored to tears. I hate to say it, you know, but I think jazz, again, was started by, you know, like Louis Armstrong. What better entertainer and then Louis Armstrong? I mean, some people now may not even consider him jazz because he doesn't take long extended solos that bore people to death. He would do a nice 3-minute song, a beautiful song, and a wonderful rendition.
Did it just become too introspective? Is that?
I think so. Too introspective and, again, not enough about the song.
So who is it nowadays that's maybe right, maybe isn't the right term, but who nowadays is doing it in a way that is entertaining? And
well, you know, Byron Stripling is a wonderful trumpet player. Ken Paplowski is a great clarinet player. Larry Golding's wonderful piano player. I don't know many of the younger guys just because I'm always on tour, so I don't really get to keep up with the scene. I mean, Vinny's 29 years old and playing better guitar than anybody I've heard in a long time.
For sure.
And there's a perfect example of just 7 or 8 years on the road doing 200 shows a year. You're going to get your act together. It's much better than sitting in a room learning another scale or transcribing another solo.
Yeah. Well, quite a few years separate the two of you. How did you end up meeting?
Well, not quite a few. Come on, I'm not that old. No.
How did you guys meet and get started playing together?
Well, I actually met Frank when I was 15 because my guitar teacher actually took me to a show that he was performing at and took me backstage, and I met him and asked for a CD that he
graciously gave to the young kid.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
So with interest, you owe me a lot of money, you know.
Right? So how many years was it from that meeting to when you guys actually started?
Vinny was 21. It was about 8 years ago. He was recommended to me through a mutual friend, and it was, you know, mutual admiration from day one. I never gave Vinny a lesson. It was all from day one just being colleagues, and we eventually grew into this, you know, guitar duo that we've been touring around the world for the last 4 years, and it's the most fun I've had playing music since playing with Les Paul.
You guys were originally something like a 6-piece, right? And it's slowly been whittled down to just the two of you?
As Vinny got better, we were able to drop pieces.
Well, 200 shows a year.
A lot of the guys couldn't hang with how hard we were working, to be honest with you. Because, you know, to get from point A to point B in this business, you got to have your music heard. So you have to go on the road. You have to play every place you possibly can, whether it's for 10 people or 1,000 people at a festival. You have to start somewhere. And we would do these insane drives, like drive through the night to Ohio so we could do a morning radio show so we could play for $100 at a club at night. And just guys didn't want to hang in that. So Vinny proved himself to be a true road warrior. Mm. And that's why he's as good as he is.
Yeah. What does a duo setting allow you to do musically that you couldn't do in a bigger group?
Well, it allows the lower registers of the guitar to come out. When you add a bass, it's like it covers up that whole bottom end of the guitar. So the guitar takes on more of a middle range sound. Mm-hmm. Having a drummer takes away a lot of the rhythm that a guitar can do. With two people, you really see each of the personalities as opposed to a band leader and their trio. So I think that's been very helpful to us, and we've gotten the best audience reaction that I've ever gotten with anything. With just two guitars. So it proved itself to be a great, great thing.
Well, speaking of letting both of your personalities come out, your arrangements seem to be getting more and more elaborate as they develop, and probably you guys are out on the road and working on ideas and adding things to the songs. But when you're on stage, it's both that and your visual personalities that come through a lot, a little bit of choreography that goes on, a lot of showmanship that goes on. How much pushing of each other do you guys do? You
know, musically or
verbally?
Musically.
I do get pushed on stage, actually, in one of the
dance. Well, it's all in good comedy, though. I would say, you know, we, I mean, Vinny pushes me a lot because he, you know, is so up on practicing and has these arrangements down and practices them day in and day out. And then I come and I'm like, wow, I hope I can keep up tonight. So it does push me tremendously. And it gets easier and easier for us to put arrangements together because we have the opportunity to play them on stage at night when we're on tour, and then we practice them probably 10 times a day. So we, you know, before we introduce a song to the public, we will have played it 100 times, you know, in practice. So, and that's the way you develop ideas. That's the creativity of what we do is in our arrangements.
Frank Vignola, Vinny Raniolo are my guests live in the JPR studios. The latest album is called Melody Magic. Can we hear one of those arrangements that you guys have come up with? What are you going to play next?
How about Beethoven's Fifth?
Sounds great. Thank you. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Wow. Vinny, your guitar looks, for all intents and purposes, very similar to the kind of guitar you would see on stage at a bunch of different kinds of music performances, music genres. Pretty straight ahead guitar?
Yeah, this is a flat top acoustic, so it's very versatile. You know, it's used for country music, for singer-songwriters, for anybody who wants like a rhythm guitar to back up, you know, because it's got a wide range. It's got a great low end, great mid-range, high end, you know, so it's a very versatile instrument. Mm.
And Frank, what about yours?
This is a new model guitar by Ryan Thorell out of Utah, and it's kind of a hybrid gypsy guitar and archtop guitar. So it's got a slight arch, it's all mahogany, has a very warm sound, and we kind of hand-picked these guitars for the duo, because they're very contrasting, very opposite.
I see. Which is, so that when you're playing together, both of them can be heard, right?
Correct, exactly. Yeah. So the big, you know, bodied flat top guitar with the low register and this with the very, you know, high trebly sound make for a good combination.
When you see videos of Django and mm-hmm. company online, there tends to be two kinds of guitars. One had a very small sound hole.
Right.
And the other more of a bigger oval. Also to have contrast in the sound?
Yeah, the idea of the bigger hole is to get more rhythm sound, more lower end, and the smaller hole is a more treble end.
And a little cleaner, probably, for fast lines? And
yeah, I mean, Django could have played, you know, a lunchbox and sound like Django. So, but that style guitar is, he really brought that to prominence, a Selmer guitar.
But not quite something that works for you, or?
No, it's very one-dimensional. Ah. You know, I mean, Django and gypsy jazz is just kind of one part of what I love about the totality of music. So I like a little more versatile of a guitar.
And I'm glad you said that, because your repertoire, as you just exhibited, is all over the map. It's jazz,
great,
it's classical, pop tunes, movie theme songs.
Yeah.
Do you know when you hear something that it will work in a two guitar setting?
And it may take a long, like we, maybe 6 years ago, we learned about the group The Shadows mm-hmm. and the song Apache. So for 6 years, we kind of, you know, would try to work on this song and we could never, you know, get anything. And just last April, we were in Italy with a Spanish guitar player. And he, you know, taught us some new Spanish strokes, and we're like, yeah, with Apache. So now we added it to the repertoire, and it's one of the, you know, the best numbers we do audience reaction-wise.
This far into your respective careers, how often do things like that happen, where there's somebody that you come across or something that you hear or something that you see online where you really go, that's completely new?
All the time.
Yeah,
all
really
the
still?
Time. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a beautiful thing about music and getting the ability to opportunity to travel. You know, you go across the globe, you go to Australia and you meet somebody, you know, that you've never heard of before, and they just blow your mind.
Well, Vinny, what's it been like for you joining forces with a guy, you know, 20 years of recording and performing and articles?
It's a dream come true, because I first heard him when I was 15. And, you know, that was around the time that I was getting into jazz. That's why my guitar teacher took me to go see him, you know, because it was a guitar show. So they were all different, you know, so they were different acts. And I was really drawn to the way that Frank played, because I liked the acoustic vibe and I just loved how melodic he was, which, you know, like we said, jazz is, you know, kind of endless solos. But I was listening to him around the same time that I was discovering Joe Pass and Herb Ellis and Django Reinhardt. So when I got the ability to audition, you know, the opportunity to audition, and I got the phone, you know, the phone call to speak to him, I was like, I couldn't believe it was real. So
how come you charged me so much money then?
Well, because I knew you had it.
Oh, see, you're good.
Is that how it works out?
Good, that's good.
Frank, you've played with everyone from Madonna, mm-hmm. Donald Fagen, Queen Latifah. Has there ever been a situation where you got the call and you thought to yourself, boy, I'm not sure that I would be the right guy for this kind of music?
Yes, I have gotten calls. I can't think of what it was offhand, but like with Madonna, it was her and Jennifer Grey doing music of the 1920s.
Okay.
So they wanted, you know, me to play the guitar because they liked my style. Donald Fagen, the same thing. He's a huge Django Reinhardt fan and jazz fan. So when he called me to be on his record, he knew what I did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if he was to call me and say, hey, I got a rock version of this, I would say I'm not really the right guy for the job because I'm not really a rock and roll guitar player. Mm.
So what's, I want to hear another tune before we let you go today, but what's next for you guys?
Well, we always have things going on online. We're always making educational products and play-along products. So that's a great thing about the internet is being able to, upload video and have shots of your hands for people to learn. I mean, I wish I was able to go online when I was 9 years old and check out what Joe Pass was doing.
Yeah. And with your teaching materials, do you take that same approach of play a lot, listen a lot, and learn
Absolutely.
Songs?
Absolutely. It's all about learning songs. I mean, Bucky Pizzarelli put it the best. He said, all you need to know about improvisation is in songs. Hmm. Meaning you learn a few hundred songs, you're going to be in great shape because now you have songs to go play with people. Mm-hmm. And if you always stick around the melody, you're set. I mean, then you can apply theories to songs. Like so much there's a separation, everybody learns theory, and then they go to the other side and they learn a song, but they never bring it together. Like, oh, how can I put this cool scale into Autumn Leaves, a great jazz classic, you know, and keep it melodic? So that's kind of where my teaching comes from.
Over the years, a lot of jazz musicians have ended up moving to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Is it still more receptive there, the jazz audience, than here in the States?
I wouldn't say more receptive. I think they're a little more willing to go out and hear music.
Mm.
They're more about going out to have a good time instead of sitting home in front of the television or computer screen. So I think I noticed just the more active communities over there. I love Europe. If there was an opportunity, I would move over there for
really?
A couple of years. But I mean, I love New York too. I always love coming back home to the U.S. So, you know, it's a big world out there.
Yeah. Frank Vignola, Vinny Raniolo are my guests live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. We're online at ijpr.org. Will you play us out with one more?
Sure. What do you want to hear?
How about Tico Tico?
Oh, good idea. That's a good one.
Frank, Vinny, thank you so much for visiting us.
Thank you, Eric. And that was a number I wrote with Jimmy Rosenberg. You brought back some memories there. Gypsy Mania. So thank you.